Gracious God,
take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. My son Zachary was born during spring break of my second year of seminary. And when he was 3 months old, I had a crisis of faith. You see, he went in for his second round of vaccinations. Whereas he had had no reaction the first time, well, this time he did. His little thigh swelled up, a dark red and hot, and he started to cry. And he cried and he cried and he sobbed for over an hour until his little body was totally worn out and he fell asleep. There was nothing that I could do to take away his pain. I was powerless. The only thing that I could do was to hold him close and to cry right along with him. In those panicked moments, if I had had the power, I swore to myself that I would have done anything to take away his pain, to shelter him from it. And I remember thinking clearly about God and power and suffering. In my head, I railed, God, if you are all powerful, if you have loved what you have created, if you are our father and our mother, how in the world can you watch the suffering of this world and do nothing? That wasn't the first time that I had wrestled with these particular questions of faith. By that point, Theodicy and I were old friends. Those are still the questions that I wrestle with. In fact, in a few weeks, at our Wednesday evening Lenten series, I'll be reflecting on that passage from the Passion where Jesus cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But back then, in that moment of powerlessness and grief, I could only see, or perhaps better stated, feel, these questions in a stark black and white, in if-then statements. If God is all-powerful and chooses not to act in the face of suffering, then God must not care. There is no way that I can call God a loving mother or father. If God doesn't care, then that's not a God that I want to believe in. I can no longer believe in God. It was simplistic, yes. Fierce thoughts in the heart of the moment. And it happened at an admittedly challenging time in my life. I was in the midst of that bewildering landscape of postpartum depression. And just as importantly, I was in the middle of seminary, a journey that seems to bring out multiple bouts of doubt and loss of faith in many, as we are asked to wrestle with our understanding of God and Scripture and our very selves in ways that push us to our limits. I wish that I could say that when Zach woke up from his exhausted slumber and was his normal, happy self, that my belief in God also magically returned to what it had been. But it didn't. I was shaped by those moments of pain, by the thoughts of my heart. And so my understanding of who God was changed as well. For me, this turned out to be a theological event. That day forever affected how I would know God and understand God as a parent. One scholar has said that Lent is a season for hard questions and uncomfortable truths, a time to take a hard look at the obstacles between us and God, not just on our own personal spiritual path, but also on the road toward a new world of justice, wholeness, and peace. Hard questions, uncomfortable truths, and obstacles on the path are all a part of our gospel reading today. Jesus is steadily moving towards Jerusalem. But for now, he was still on the road in Galilee, casting out demons and curing the sick, proclaiming boldly the coming reign of God. In the verse just before where our passage began today, he said, "Indeed, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." He wasn't in Jerusalem yet, but word of his words and deeds had already made it, and those in power began to take notice. And so today we see a group from the Pharisees come to Jesus to warn him to leave, for Herod wants to kill him. Hard questions. Why were these Pharisees, members of the religious elite who, up until this point, have not been friends of Jesus, warning him to flee from Herod? Why does Herod want to kill Jesus? What would it mean for Jesus to heed their warning? Uncomfortable truths. In Jesus' response to the Pharisees, we glimpse again what is to come. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. A foreshadow of the three holy days that we are journeying toward again. And a lament for Jerusalem, the place where death awaits those who speak truth to power. Obstacles between us and God. The temptation for Jesus to turn away from the work he has been called to do in the face of danger. The temptation to give in to fear. These challenges that Jesus faced, they are ours too. And they are indeed the work of Lent, and I dare say beyond, for they are in fact the work of a life of faith. How else can we grow in faith? Can we deepen our relationship with God? Can we create a world where justice, compassion, and reconciliation are known realities? We have to ask the hard questions and acknowledge the uncomfortable truths and recognize the obstacles between us and God, most of which we put there in the first place. Sometimes we do this together. We do it when we study Scripture and wrestle with its meaning in a group. We do it when we walk with one another in times of stress and crisis. We do it when we come before God and each other and we confess our sins. I think our vision statement is the distillation of this work that we have taken on together, and living into it will require all of us. But it's also our personal work, something that we are each called to do, and I think that this year I challenge you to make it a part of your Lenten journey. So what are your hard questions? Ask them and pray them. What are your uncomfortable truths? Name them and face them. What are your obstacles? Move them. I don't say this blithely. It's not simple work. It's not quick work. And before you lose heart looking at its enormity, know this. We are never alone in it. Jesus said, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." I remember how excited I was when I first learned to tune in to feminine imagery in the Scriptures, something that was deeply important to me as a young woman. All those times that we hear of being raised up on eagle's wings and hidden under the hen's wings, those are the behaviors of loving mothers. The eagle, who teaches her young to soar by first teaching them to hover over the safety of their nest, spreading her wings so they do not tumble to their death from the airy, nurturing them so that only when they are strong enough to fly on their own will they venture into the world beyond. And the hen, oh, that hen, who shelters her young under her wings in the face of danger, putting herself between the fox and the chicks, hoping that she will satisfy his hunger, that her death will spare her brood. And today we hear Jesus proclaim just such a love, even for those who are not willing to come to him. This is God as a parent that I can relate to. This is a God that I can believe in. Because what I came to understand when my heart settled and Zachary woke up all better was that I couldn't really relate to an all-powerful, all-knowing parent in the sky, a chess player dispassionately moving pieces around on a board of life. My childish image of God as the divine superhero could no longer stand as I began to truly know the God who chose to take on our flesh and live among us. But what I did come to know was that my hard questions, my uncomfortable truths, and the obstacles between myself and God were a prayer of lament. We lament when we question why. We rail against God. We shake our fists in anger and we cry. But we always end with trust and hope. We circle back to the promise that God has made to always be with us, that we are not alone, and that we are gathered under God's wings just as Jesus promised. When I look back on that day now, even as I remember so clearly the black and white assured thoughts swirling in my head then, now I understand the uncomfortable truth that God was there all along, even when I denied it. Not with an answer to my questions or a show of power. No, she was simply there embracing me, just as I embraced Zach, crying along with us, hiding us under her wings, and pouring out her love in response to my lament, and unconditionally offering the hope of resurrection. Amen.